Andrew, a few months ago we answered a question on Hawking radiation and the mechanism by which black holes evaporate. We said at the time that pairs of virtual particles, one normal matter, one antimatter, form spontaneously and usually just annihilate, but when it happens near the event horizon of a black hole, one can be pulled in while the other gets fired out. By that process, the black hole appears to have emitted something, and in order to do that, it must shrink. But we've had an email from David Walker. He understands that if an antimatter particle falls into the black hole, it will annihilate something inside the black hole and cancel out its mass. But what if the particle that falls in is normal matter? Wouldn't that make the black hole more massive? What he wants to know really is there any bias at the event horizon that prefers sucking in antimatter?
Yeah, well, it certainly seems like there must be, doesn't it, for that explanation which Karen gave to be correct. The difficulty with this subject is it's an incredibly hard subject, and so we have different ways of thinking about an explanation for what's going on. But in the end, it involves a lot of maths, and it isn't even fully understood by the people who are working on it. It links into something called the information paradox, which is where when you chuck stuff into a black hole, information about that stuff seems to be lost, but nobody's quite sure whether it really is lost. And is the information that you've chucked in matter really lost completely? So this is why all this stuff becomes extremely difficult. Nonetheless, we can take a step back and see if we can make some sense of it. The really concrete mathematical result that all of this is based on is the fact that if you write down a system of equations which represent a black hole which is of a steady size, so it's neither growing nor shrinking, and let that live in a complete vacuum, so there are no particles of matter around it, then when you analyse that carefully using something called quantum field theory, you find it's actually mathematically inconsistent. It doesn't actually, the equations don't actually make sense. And you can only make the equations make sense by supposing it's not in a complete vacuum, but rather it's in a sort of bath of particles. It's actually surrounded by particles of a certain density. And it's the interpretation of that that gives rise to these ideas, because the interpretation is that in that case, it's been made consistent, the idea that it's staying the same size has been made consistent by the fact it's absorbing some of those particles that it's surrounded by, but it must also be emitting an equal number of particles. So the whole thing is overall, on average, not changing with time and everything becomes consistent. So that's the mathematically concrete statement that all of this is based on, and that's what Hawking's first analysis showed. But if we come back to this idea that in the real universe, a black hole in the real universe must therefore be shrinking because somehow it's emitting particles, and then we try and ask again, how is it that it knows what type of particles to emit? One way you might resolve this question is by thinking about what actually happens to matter that falls into a black hole. Because we have discussed once, I think many months ago on this podcast, that if you're watching from the outside as matter falls into a black hole, you never actually see it get into the black hole. From the perspective of somebody watching this going on outside, the matter gets closer and closer and closer to the surface or so-called event horizon of the black hole, but you never actually see it fall in. And the way that helps us in this case is because it does actually select a preference, in the sense that if you now imagine these one particle of antimatter and one particle of matter being created right next to this event horizon, it's very likely that the antimatter will annihilate with a piece of matter, because the matter is all sort of trapped there. It hasn't actually fallen in from the perspective of these particles that have been created just outside the black hole. So the antimatter actually annihilates with a bit of matter that's sort of trapped just outside the black hole. And the bit of matter, since there's not lots of antimatter hanging around, the bit of matter has nothing to annihilate with, so it's actually able to escape away because it is just outside the black hole. Now, I hope that shed some light on it. As I say, nobody really knows a full answer to this, but I think that's the kind of direction in which you have to look to start to understand it.
Thank you, Andrew, and thank you, David, for your question.